Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about these. So he says, taking the mind as the object of meditation has a number of advantages. It makes it easier to develop what we call tranquil abiding. Tranquil abiding is basically highly evolved concentration, like unbelievably evolved concentration, meditative concentration, where you can absorb into whatever object you're focusing on, love, compassion, wisdom, for as long as you like with a completely undisturbed mind. So we call that tranquil abiding. And in fact, that's the main reason why this meditation is encouraged, because its principal function is to help us improve our concentration. That's like its number one function. Why? Because it's easier to develop concentration with this meditation than with any other meditation. It's actually quite a subtle meditation. Like, it can take a little while to get a feel for it. Like, the breath is much, much easier to find. The breath is just, got it. You know, the mind, well, we're completely inexperienced at looking at the mind, which is kind of odd, because you're using your mind all the time for everything. But mostly we're using our mind just to look at stuff and to read stuff and to watch stuff and to smell stuff and to touch stuff. You know, we're just like, we never turn the focus of the mind in on itself. We're just always like, oh, look, oh, what's going on? Mostly this, right? And not taking this extraordinary thing that we have, the very basis of our existence, and actually turning the focus inwards on itself, which is such a shame, because the mind is amazing. But at any rate, we need to learn to do that, and then we need to learn to focus on it. And that's when the sort of the extraordinary qualities of the mind will begin to make itself manifest to us. So it makes it easier to attain tranquil abiding. Why? Because this meditation helps us to overcome distractions, external distractions and internal distractions. Why? So, for example, in the breathing meditation that we've been doing in the previous series, we focus on the breath. The mind, after a while, right, begins to sort of settle into the breath. And as a result, the mind becomes more still, doesn't it? Just naturally, it becomes more quiet. And then you begin to discover, oh, there's this thing of peace in here. And I can settle into that peaceful experience. And it feels lovely. And what happens? We get distracted, don't we? It's like, oh, this is nice. The moment you tell yourself, well, how nice it is, you're already distracted, aren't you? You're already suddenly caught up with this and this and this. I've got to tell this person but this. Oh, that reminds me of, and you're gone. You're completely gone. And you can be totally gone. Like, the next thing you know, you're back in high school or something like that. In the future or something. Like, you're completely lost in that experience. You know, this is one of the things that we learn as meditators. We learn how the mind, well, first of all, we learn how out of control the mind is. It's out of control, isn't it? Like, you say, yeah, I'm going to focus my mind on the breath. Oh, yeah? For how long? It takes us a while to even find the darn breath. And then when we do find it, we can't stay with it. We can stay with it briefly, and then it's gone. We can't keep our mind focused on the breath for 5 consecutive breaths. And these are the people, you know, who've got nuclear codes and stuff like that. You know, everyone's like lost. in distraction. But when you spend time meditating on the nature of the mind, what you discover is that all of your distractions, where do they come from? They just come from the mind, don't they? They're just thoughts, feelings, fantasies, whatever. But what happens is that they just arise out of the mind. And where do they go? Well, that depends if you go with them or not. Like if a thought arises, like let's say the thought of, you know, somebody who criticized you. That thought arises, how dare they do that? And then before you know it, you follow that thought, don't you? And the next thing you know, you're having an argument with the person in your mind, you know, going back and forth. I'm going to say then you're being very, very clever, coming up with fantastic put downs and stuff like that. And then at some point you have to drop it, right? You just have to drop it. And then what happens to those thoughts? They don't like do a dance or anything like that on their own. They just disappear. They just simply disappear. So they arise out of what we call the clarity of the mind, the empty space of the mind. They arise out of that. And unless we get caught up in it, they will just simply disappear. Because they have no essence in and of themselves unless you grasp at them, get sucked into them. And so when you meditate directly on the nature of the mind, what you're kind of learning is to experience for yourself is that unhappy minds, negative minds, only have as much power as you give them. Do you see what I'm saying? Because they arise, and if they arise, like some thought of somebody who hurt you or something like that, and you decide, because you don't decide, it just sucks you in, it seduces you instantaneously. It could be an attractive thing, so that's a more like typical seduction, you know, like then you're like, ooh, that's fun, and then you're suddenly off in a nice little fantasy for a little while that at some point you have to drop, and then that was your meditation session. Oops. Or, you know, you spent 20 minutes being enraged or being depressed or whatever by just focusing on the wrong thing. You know, Geshe Kelsang, he actually says distractions is the main enemy of a meditator, someone who's trying to train their mind. Distraction is our main enemy. Because after a while, we learn as practitioners, we learn that if I focus on a peaceful, positive mind, I will be peaceful and positive. And we learn how to generate peaceful, positive minds. I mean, if you go through the stages of the path meditations, you learn how to develop love, you learn how to develop compassion, you learn how to develop patient acceptance, generosity, kindness, you learn how to develop wisdom that understands the true nature of things. You'll learn all these amazing things. But at the moment, unfortunately, we're like a... we're basically like someone who's entered into like a museum of full of beautiful things, but it's night and the lights are off and you just have like a candle with a flickering flame, you know, and you're just like, ah, I think that's a, you know, a Van Gogh or and you're just constantly saying, I need to come back here again. I need to come back again when I can actually see. And that's a little bit our experience of the spiritual path. It's like, wow, this love stuff is fantastic, but I can't stick with it. I can't see it clearly. This wisdom realizing emptiness is unbelievable, but I can't, you know what I mean? We get like a glimpse, but we can't really fully take it in because of what? Distraction. And most of our distractions, again, I'm not being critical, just talking about myself, and maybe this might be of relevance to you. Most of our distractions are nonsense. Just blah, 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 isn't it? I mean, sometimes we're literally having some old sitcom conversations, just go, you know, we watched the other night, just kind of like, and we don't want to do that. It's not like, oh, I love thinking about it. It's just like, or else we just go to things that make us unhappy. Like we're quite strange people, you know, like We have a little bit of space opens up in our life, and we think, how should I fill it? I know I'm going to think about the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to focus on it for a little bit, get depressed, really immerse myself in it. Like if you saw, you know, like somebody goes to the beach and it's like a beautiful day, you know, with the light and the sort of waves and the sparkles and all that. And you saw somebody just walk over to those, you know, there's always like an overflowing garbage can there, isn't it? And they just like stick their head in it. You'd think that's strange. You just came to the beach. What are you doing sticking your head in there? And I think that's a little bit how the Buddhas see us, you know, because actually our lives could be unbelievable, like unbelievably wonderful if it weren't for distraction. Oh, distraction obviously mostly associated, unfortunately, with strong attachment and strong anger and so forth. So this meditation, we learn, we get really good at first of all understanding the nature of distraction, how it's just coming out of the mind and then dissolving back into the mind. We get good at it. We learn to overcome distractions. And as a result, we learn. See, the thing here is that the focus is on the nature of the mind. So we develop this very internal focus. You're not going out. You're not trying to hold like the breath or something like that. The focus is really just on the nature of the mind itself. So you have this very absorbed quality that allows you to see these like distracting thoughts arise. And if you don't follow them, they just return to the breath. And this is why you can develop powerful states of concentration through this meditation. If we can develop powerful states of concentration, really there's no telling what we can do in terms of changing our entire experience. Then you could, for example, meditate on a mind of kindness or love or wisdom in the morning. And because you have strong mindfulness and strong concentration, you could just stay with it all day long. And you just be having this like wonderful day, just carrying your inner peace, your positive mind with you everywhere you go. Sitting on the subway would be like heaven, because you'd just be like abiding in a state of love, for example. Yeah. This practice has the power to transform the New York subway. That's how we should advertise it. Become very popular.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.